The killers over at the CDC and the World Health Organization, who are claiming that H5N1, the bird flu, is just about a pandemic, seem to be nonetheless struggling to explain to the public how they know it jumps from birds to mammals like cows. But that hasn't stopped the U.S. government from funding billions to create new human bird flu vaccines. Sounds like an extension of Operation Warp Speed, doesn't it? Wait till you see what these vaccines are made from and what they've put inside of them. The medical fraud continues, but don't worry, you have the antidote. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine. Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Well, in the last couple of shows, and across my social media as well, I've made a concerted effort to show you what a farce and an incoming hoax the H5N1 bird flu story is. Even though scientific experts have published that this bird flu doesn't even exist, the theater continues. The CDC publicly declared over a month ago that the bird flu virus infection was reported in a person in the United States, although they can't tell you what the mechanism of that transfer was from an animal, how it works. Isn't that convenient? In fact, as late as April 5th, just about a month ago, the CDC put out a statement, and I quote, "So far, there have been no reported cases of spread among people or of a person contracting this strain of avian influenza, also known as H5N1, from contaminated egg or poultry products, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention." Unquote. So why all the hype? This morning, I listened very carefully to the World Health Organization's press conference, where mainstream hired guns, formerly known as journalists, from left-wing rags like Reuters, Washington Post, and CNN, dutifully asked questions about how prepared every country is for a potential avian flu pandemic, and how soon and how equitable would the distribution be for these vaccines. Obviously, teeing up the WHO's ability to propagandize and continue the fear porn program. I've also shown you the evidence that this is all a lie, that the H5N1 bird flu that miraculously, you know, supposedly jumped from wild birds to domesticated birds to mammals like cows and then humans, I've exposed the diagnostic process as fake, including that gift that keeps giving, the fake PCR test. Tonight, I'm going to prepare you for what's coming, because the United States government, its captured agencies like the CDC, FDA, NIH, are all singing in chorus fashion, conducting what appears to be a replica of Operation Warp Speed. Even the little media darling, Dr. Peter McCullough, is making his rounds on the talk show circuit, trying to validate not only the false narrative of a variant or a collection of variant of H5N1, warning his beloved fans about the potential for mutations. Oh yes, scary viruses that magically jump across species and into humans always bring along with them variants of concern. Please roll the tape.
N1. I know that there was an H2N1 and H3N1. I guess we're up to five now. Is this something we should worry about, Doc?
It is. It could be disease X, Joe. H5 means it's avian, and then it can be N in different configurations. The H is the hemagglutinin. That's the spike protein on influenza. It's been around for, you know, decades. The Chinese have made it much worse by vaccinating poultry, because the vaccines in poultry don't work. And so the birds spread it around more. The French tried it last year. It made it worse. Now we've had one case. It was in the New England Journal of Medicine today, of a man in West Texas, conjunctivitis. He got it either handling some form of livestock, bird or cattle. And the bottom line is, I think this is going to be a much bigger threat to poultry and potentially livestock than it will be humans. It doesn't spread to humans very well at all, but we could be facing mass culling of poultry and potentially.
Notice how nicely Joe Pags teases up the McCullough questions. And why would McCullough do such a thing, you might ask? Well, a wise old judge once said to me, Jane, when you're trying to figure people out in life, 99.999% of the time, it's about money. But you got to rise really early and keep a close eye on that little bugger, because if you have to jump over to another network like this one, you'll begin to see a method to his madness. Yep, on the Dr. Gina Show, talking about Tamiflu and how TWC, the company for which he is the chief scientific officer, is now including Tamiflu on its list of drugs. And so it looks like some of your frontline doctors are seriously just funneling people right back into pharmaceuticals. So it looks actually, when you really look at this, like he's doing an advertisement for the wellness company that sells the wellness kit in that now includes Tamiflu, which is a single viral, antiviral rather, called oseltamivir. For a chief scientific officer, he sure likes to work on the commercial side of things, and so do some others. Let's take a closer look at some of these very dangerous drugs that are being, in addition to avian bird flu vaccine, these antiviral pills are surely going to be pushed on the public. So let's start with Tamiflu, shall we? Generic name, oseltamivir. The first thing that jumps out is that the FDA slapped this drug with a black box warning a number of years ago. Take a look at this. You may not remember, or you may. A black box warning on a package insert for a drug is the highest degree of the FDA can confer upon a drug of warning, the highest warning of danger before they recall it. It is a serious message to prescribers that they better be sure they really need this, that the benefit will outweigh these very, very high risks. In this case, Tamiflu got the black box warning because it was shown to exhibit, after being out a while, neuropsychiatric side effects, which we'll talk about in a moment. And that's why, President Trump, you need long-term studies for new entities. That's why, President Trump, you don't want to rush the FDA or any of your agencies to bring something to market before you've had the time to do the proper studies and look at the observation feedback over time. Sometimes it takes a few years for the danger to reveal itself. Sometimes the danger signal comes out in the preclinical studies with the animals. You don't always get that lucky. Sometimes a drug makes it all the way to being marketed, but that's usually over many, many years. And that's why the safety issues come out earlier when you do it properly over time. Here's a list of some of the other likely antiviral candidates that may be mandated or pushed very heavily, not only by the government or by these collapsed agencies, but from some of your frontline doctors who apparently have moved over to pharmaceutical and healthcare companies, not only to those companies and to the pharma industry, but also right into their commercial departments, which used to be illegal for people on the medical side to be promoting commercially. The murderers over at the CDC have already prepared their list of favorites in the antiviral medication treatment category. In addition to oseltamivir, you can expect to see paramivir, zanamivir, and balaxavir. Most of these antivirals cause nausea, vomiting, severe gastrointestinal pain, nosebleeds, headaches, and profound fatigue. In addition to, as I mentioned before, neuropsychiatric side effects, which are no joke. these neuropsychiatric side effects that have been reported include delirium, disturbances in consciousness, perceptual changes, delusions, tremors, anxiety symptoms, seizure disorders, parasomnias, and hormone imbalances, and everything that comes with that. And God forbid you're driving when one of those neurological events happens. Gosh, I'm so incredibly sick of the pharmaceutical oppression in this world. You don't want to miss my second half, because I'm going to share with you what the government, the pharmaceutical industry, and their minions, the alphabet agencies, and the co-opted, some co-opted frontline doctors, including the bought and paid for university researchers now that are on the government dole, what they're all doing to create an Operation Warp Speed for H5N1 bird flu virus, and what's in these shots. You don't want to miss this. As Yogi Berra once said famously, folks, it's deja vu all over again. I'll be right back.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code to save 50% on your MyPillow 2.0.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
MyPillow.com.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Jane Ruby here with a quick message on how you should be protecting your retirement funds, your 401k, your IRAs. Did you know that you can protect them with physical gold and silver to avoid losing everything that you've built over your lifetime? Please call the experts at Augusta Precious Metals at 888-836-1890. At least talk to an expert. Learn more about how you can protect what you've built up so that if things go crazy, as we know they will in this economy, you've got some of your investments protected with tangible physical gold and silver. Every bit as valuable as real estate, something you can touch. They can't turn off, you know, with a flick of a switch. Call the people at Augusta Precious Metals. They're wonderful. They will educate you on what this is all about and what you need to do. And they will also provide you with some warnings about how to protect yourself from other companies that may be spreading lies and scamming you. That's Augusta Precious Metals at 888-836-1890. Welcome back to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Tonight, we are continuing our discussion and revelations around the fake H5N1 scam 2.0. and the new pharmaceutical cash cows like vaccines being developed for H5N1 at warp speed, and more dangerous antivirals coming in to save you. And let me tell you, Paxlovid and Molnupiravir have nothing over these drugs. In the first segment, I reviewed the propaganda and the oral antivirals with some incredible dangers and side effects already established. But this is where we get into our old friend, the government's fake vaccines. There are several, for your information, in development, and only one for humans has been formally approved by the agency formerly known as the FDA, that is now the pharma bitch, that is the DOD bitch, and it just goes down the line. There are several in development, and one has been approved. I'm going to jump right to the point. These vaccines are most likely, highly likely, to contain genetic changing materials from everything I read. But when you dig into their ingredients and you dig into the package insert and you dig down the hole of these companies' websites, the language has changed. It's been murkied. So they're not, you're calling monovalent, bivalent. It sounds like gene changing, you know, gene therapy. It sounds like mRNA, COVID mRNA, modified RNA type materials in there. And I'll show you why in a moment. And why wouldn't it be, right? This is most likely a continuation of the mass genocide operation. If we know that the bird flu, supposedly jumping to humans, a virus that has never been isolated, so we conclude that it doesn't exist, and using the fake PCR test and all the revelation of the lies, then why would you allow yourself to believe that there would be anything of benefit for your health in a vaccine to prevent a bird flu that clearly doesn't exist? Logic can save your life. So beware. You have been inexplicably warned. Here's a little background. The U.S. has two candidate vaccine viruses that they're tracking for H5N1 bird flu. These things are always muddy, and I got a candidate, I've got a couple of candidates, and we're going to watch them because they're going to mutate. These things magically mutate in a matter of days. It's a miracle. Never happened before. They claim that these vaccines for humans for avian flu are safe because they're made from eggs, the traditional way. But then when you read deeper down, you see that they slip in that these human bird flu vaccines also include a surface protein, the pathogenic part of the virus itself that doesn't exist, circulating in the community. And they call them hemagglutinins. Is this beginning to sound familiar? We know hemagglutinins occur in the body. They occur in food. What I'm saying is, we sure we're not just like throwing that in there as the, you know, hemagglutinin is the new spike protein? I think Dr. Jane's onto something here. They'll claim that it will enable the vaccine to generate a protective immune response. In other words, they're putting a pathogen, probably gain of function derived, into the injection, no doubt synthetically created in a lab, to generate that immune response, because they've wanted you to believe for a long time now that you have a suboptimal immune system. They're telling you, in essence, that this is gene modification. We're going to get your body to make the hemagglutinin that is normally very active in H5N1, and then your body's going to be a better reactor to it. Woo! H5N1 hemagglutinin. Get out the immune system. Let's react big. Cartoon. It's all cartoon. They continue the narrative around variants. Do you know, the fake mutations of the virus that has never been shown to exist? That's how I knew some frontline doctors were full of it a couple of years ago, and they blocked me, because when I asked them to tell me how they could identify variants, and I actually asked it, I didn't even ask it suspiciously at the time. I asked it earnestly, like, how do you know which variant is which? How do you know which one it goes with? And I got that answer. Sequencing. Well, wait a minute. Sequencing is a part of something that's supposed to be a part of the big thing. The virus that's never been isolated in its whole and peripheral. It's sequencing. Just shut up. Move away. Go. Block. Yeah, Peter McCullough blocked me when I asked about sequencing. Or maybe it was shortly after that, I pushed him over the edge when I asked him why he was promoting the bioweapon Novavax in our Telegram channel. And don't forget, they're telling us, don't ever forget, they're telling us this diagnosis is made using the PCR test. And whenever you see that, I mean, when I see it, I shut down. You lost me at PCR. How stupid do you think we are? I mean, you can't make this up. They also say, because they're getting a little smarter and they don't want to be just PCR dependent because they know we'll laugh in their faces, they've added laboratory assays for antibodies, which are kind of counters, identifiers and counters of antibodies. But antibodies are never specific. IgG comprises 75% of the antibodies in the human body. Nothing is specific. Nothing is that sophisticated. And I don't think anything is that sophisticated in real life, or I mean specific in real life, because the body uses antibodies for many different things, different types of antibodies across many different parts of the body and functions of the body. And these antibodies are always circulating in your blood and are not specific, as I said, to a particular injury or illness. Let's get real. Hemagglutinins are found naturally in the body, believe it or not. And they're in certain foods that you wouldn't even think about. There's nothing wrong with it. Specifically, they belong to a glycoprotein family found in large quantities found in legumes like black beans, soybeans, lima beans, and lentils, and many cereal products. And as I said, the body produces them and processes them from food. Oftentimes, they work in the body to prevent infection. So there's a hoax on diagnosis since your body already makes it. Right? It's like the PCR test finding basic building blocks of genetic material. Of course it's going to be basic building blocks. Yep, you're COVID positive. Oh, you're H5N1 positive. But doc, I only have like a little sniffle and, you know, maybe a little red eye and my fever's like 100. You've got H5N1. You've got bird flu. Now I'll be quiet. Let me go report it to the agencies. I want to be the first one in my state. Wow. It gives the powers that be that want to create a public health emergency in order to release billions more, in order to do the power grab and to move more money out of the middle class and into the big, big players, it gives them more plausible deniability. And they can call it and diagnose it any way they want. And they can report fake, ginned up case numbers. Ooh, Pennsylvania's got X number of numbers, cases. And Montana's got, you know, a new uprising in cases. Okay, believe it or not everybody is ready to resist. I got a question in my Telegram channel yesterday from a parent of, I'm assuming, like a teen, young teenager, like frantic, saying, my son's pediatrician wants to give him Gardasil vaccine. Okay, what should I do? Gosh. It's hard to read questions like that. So here's what to look out for. Let's move on. The first and only, to my knowledge, FDA-approved vaccine for H5N1, bird flu that has jumped from wild birds to domestic birds to mammals like cows, giant, sophisticated mammals, not just tiny up the food chain. And then man. Humans is called Audacity. That's what it should be called. This little beauty has to be refrigerated between 2 and 8 degrees Celsius, translated to 36 degrees to 46 degrees Fahrenheit. Here we go again with a multi-step process. You know, move it in, move it out, put it back in the fridge, take it out. How long has it been out? I don't know. 2 days. What could go wrong? And then it gets real serious, let me tell you, when you take a closer look at the ingredients. You've got 7.5 micrograms of, and you can be sure, it's lab-created gain-of-function version of the natural substance known as hematoglutinin. And you have that in per every 5 milliliters, in a vial or within the vial. You've got 10 milliliters in the vial, then you've got 15 micrograms of the poison. But that's not the end of it. But wait, there's more. And it gets better. If you want to define better as worse. The emulsion in the Audenz shot, admitted, this is what they're admitting, contains, ready? Because I'm not going to put this up on the screen. Contains polysorbate 80. Write this down. Polysorbate 80. Cetyl methyl ammonium bromide. Beta propiolactone. And then there's the big boy. Thimerosal. For those of you who might not remember, thimerosal contains ethyl mercury. Ethyl mercury is readily released when you inject somebody with thimerosal. And thimerosal is a potent neurotoxin. Okay, which leads me to the package insert. By the way, here's a page from the FDA, Audenz. Proper name, influenza A, H5N1. Notice how they've taken a normal, what they made normal, influenza A and B. Okay. And they've said, oh, this is a H5N1 is a substrain. Okay. Monovalent vaccine. Adjuvanted, oh yeah, it's adjuvanted with thimerosal, polysorbate 80. So many incredible poisons, it's not even funny. Audenz is an inactivated vaccine indicated for active immunization for the prevention of disease caused by the influenza A virus, H5N1 subtype, and contained in the vaccine. It is approved for use in persons, and I can barely say this. It is approved for use in persons 6 months of age and older. I hope these people die a really long, painful death. People propagating this, creating it. Let's take a look here. This next one is the package insert. We used to live and die by these documents. I just want you to know. The package insert. Every word, at least traditionally, every period, every number, everything in this document was negotiated with the FDA and approved. And it was supposed to contain every detail condensed about all the trials, the whole safety surveillance package, your pivotal trials, your preclinical. This is your marketing document. This is the document that you cannot go off the lines here. You cannot go outside of what the indication is here. This is your marketing license. So the package insert is a pretty big deal in pharma and prescribing world. It's the direct link between the pharmaceutical companies and the FDA, your oversight regulatory body, and the prescribing experts, doctors, physicians, nurse practitioners. Okay, I want you, the two most important pieces, I'm going to have this in a zoomed in version. Are warnings and precautions, and then adverse reactions. And they're supposed to put the percentages of reactions compared with placebo. But then you have to go back and look how they defined placebo, because right now it's a freaking free-for-all, and they're doing anything they want. And they're testing these vaccines against other vaccines, whatever those are, and calling that the placebo group. No, that's not a placebo group. Placebo is no active drug, and certainly not anything relative to your active drug. And, you know, every television commercial for an injection says the most common side effect was pain and swelling at the injection site. Go screw yourself. Soreness at the injection site. Get out of here. That was all they had on those checklists at CVS and, you know, Walgreens and all those other big box murder emporium. Oh my God. In infants and children, 6 months through 5 years, the most common solicited local and systemic reaction reported in clinical trials. Were tenderness, irritability, sleepiness, change in eating habits. These babies couldn't feed. They were irritable. They were edgy and crying and screaming, that blood-curdling. And they couldn't feed. And then in children 6 years old to 17, older teens, the injection site pain. Yeah, okay. Loss of appetite, nausea, arthralgia. It's pain in the joints. In adults, injection site pain, fatigue, malaise, headache, and arthralgia. But if you look at the warnings and precautions, second bullet, if Guillain-Barré syndrome has occurred within 6 weeks of receipt of a prior influenza vaccine, the decision to give Audenz should be based on careful consideration of potential benefits and risks. You want to know why? Because they want to be able to separate out. Was it my vaccine, my Audenz, that caused the Guillain-Barré, that precipitated it? Or is it the one you took 6 weeks ago? They know this poison in their shots, childhood schedule, everything. They know it causes Guillain-Barré. It causes neurological damage. It causes the symptoms of muscular sclerosis. Terrible. Terrible. This, I mean, if for everything I've read to you, please note that this poison injection is fully approved. It's fully approved. This is a crime in plain sight. It's a crime in the making. Here's a list, just quickly before we wrap up the show, of some older egg-based H5N1 vaccines for humans that have been licensed previously, meaning approved by the FDA, and some non-egg-based vaccines. You can screenshot or hit the pause button and review, take notes. I'm not going to do a commercial and go through all of these for these killer companies. You get the idea. Please be aware that there are many more than these. I mean, there are countless candidates under experiment right now that they're ramping up, probably sitting on a shelf just waiting for an emergency use authorization to set them free without any safety trials, right? And the more they stock up and the more they invest, the more nervous I get that they're going to say, you know what? Yeah, this is the one. Let's use this and declare a pandemic again. Because the more they up the investment, they almost can't help themselves. Gotta go forward. You're almost on the edge. You gotta keep walking. This is absolutely reprehensible. This entire program continues. As I've said on so many of my speaking tours, my show over and over, I've consistently warned you that this COVID game is not over. As Catherine Watt said, it's a kill box. You're in a kill box. And the campaign, the duration of the campaign, is permanent, which means these cycles will continue to occur over and over again if we do not turn away from government and mandated healthcare, pharmaceutical greed, complacency in the general public, and laziness. Got to overcome all of that and turn away from turning to pharma and allopathic standard medicine, because they only lead you back to pharma. get away from the government grid of big everything and take back control of your God-given health and immune systems. And shame on you, fame and money whores, who enjoyed initially the adoration of the public for initially coming out against the COVID-19 shots 4 years ago, only to be subsequently revealed as the pharma mouthpieces that you are, and heavily remunerated for it as well. Not only is money the root of all evil, but it's the root of the most horrific evil that I can think of, and that is to damage against the life and well-being of your fellow man. Very sad, but you are empowered. You are awake. You are alert to these things. And you will, if you watch this a couple of times or take notes, whatever, you can share it with other people and warn them and empower them. Get off the knee-jerk reflex. What do you think of this next thing? Is it going to be a pandemic? Is the bird flu going to... They said it got into a gut. Bring it down. Bring it down. Your antidote is truth. Your antidote is medical truth. That's what's going to keep you safe. Okay. Everyone, thank you for joining me tonight. I can't tell you how grateful I am when I see all the views and the comments and the interest in the work that I'm doing. Please remember to follow me on Twitter and Telegram. The Dr. Jane Ruby shows are posted initially on Rumble, and then subsequently a week or so later, they get uploaded to band.video and BitChute for now. It's a matter of manpower. Coffee chats are exclusive to my Rumble channel for now, but a lot of this is going to be moved to my website, drjaneruby.com. I invite you to go over there and take a look, but very soon we're going to have links to all the shows. We're going to have the podcasts there, and we're going to have the link to all the Substack work. And I do want to thank everyone for your support of my launching of Substack a few months ago. It's been a great, it's been received wonderfully, and I'm very grateful that it's bringing you some comfort. And don't forget to support my small company vendors. These are American entrepreneurs. They're products that are designed to help you prep, to keep you safe, to keep you healthy. And the very modest commissions are used to keep my voice on the air, to continue to warn you about this ongoing medical fraud, and to consistently bring you the best in truth in medicine. Thanks again. God bless you all, and good night, everyone. We'll be right back.